afternoon and welcome to Garden Planet. You're with Karen and...
Selena.
And today we're going to be talking to you about flower power.
Flower power?
Well, I know you're a fan of the 60s, Selena.
Oh, I think that's from that song we played the other week, Incense and Peppermints.
Yeah, I reckon. That was a good one. But in particular, we're going to be discussing the fragrance of flowers and what it's all about.
Yep. A fragrant garden, it's the wonder of gardening is the smells that you encounter when you're working and walking in the garden.
Especially at this time of the year. And of course, our plant of the week is going to be one of the more fragrant plants. So you'll have to keep listening to find out what that is.
Exactly. Okay, but I'm going to share with you some of the most fragrant plants or flowers that you can grow in the garden. And there are not only flowers, but also foliage, but we'll get to that a little bit later. So flowers. Now, the number one fragrant one that everyone knows, what is it, Karen?
Roses.
The rose.
Yes.
Yes. So every garden must at least have one rose, I reckon.
Even though they have
prickly thorns, worth growing for the flowers, and the flowers must be scented. I just don't think a rose is a rose if it's not.
Yeah.
Fragrant.
Are there many breeds out there that, well, breeders are breeding, that are scentless?
Yes, well, what's happened with all the breeding is they've bred the flowers for the cut flower industry. And so they've gone for the colour more than the scent. And that's been sort of bred out, or they've kind of missed. They were focusing on the colour. But there's so many rose varieties around. But if you go for the old-fashioned kind, the what they call the Gallica or Damask roses, those are the ones that are mostly used for perfumes.
Okay. Yeah,
And they're a bit more open in their petals. Like you'd get the modern ones are sort of tightly. It's not so like the flowers don't open up
well,
so wide.
There's not. I think like maybe a balance of the two. So you get the pretty ones that are nicely and tightly bound, and then you get the scented ones, you know. And then as a mixture, you've got the best of everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think some breeders have been doing it. They've been crossing the old varieties with the newer, so that the older ones with the smell, but they also flower more often.
Okay.
So you get best of both worlds.
Wow, that's clever.
The name to look out for is David Austin Roses.
Okay.
So he does those kind of
roses. Oh, yeah. Is that available in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's an English breeder, but the roses, they're available here. So with your roses, if you've got a lot of them, make sure you collect the rose petals. Because you can make potpourri and use them in rose water. Don't let them go to waste. I know that some people just, like, when I was working in the Waitaki Gardens, they had all these roses on the on the fences. They had so many, and they had an entire rose garden. But us gardeners, we were so busy deadheading that we didn't, like, collect all the petals, and I thought we could have...
Yeah, you could have started an industry. Lots of uses for petals.
Yes.
Especially if you've got a romantic night ahead, you can, you know, spread them out all over the, in a nice warm bath.
That's a lovely idea.
And then, you know, head off to the bedroom and sprinkle them all over your...
Yep.
I can imagine if I did that to Pierre, he'd just be like, what the heck is this all in the bed? What are you doing?
What's going on?
What?
Why is it smelling so lovely?
Kill this air.
Just a tip there, you can actually dry flowers in the microwave, so have a go with doing that.
Okay, I mean, for how many seconds would you recommend? You don't want to burn them.
On a low heat.
Low heat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or not too long, otherwise
then,
you'll fry them.
Just check on them regularly until they're firmish.
Yeah.
Never done it, so I wouldn't know, but it sounds cool.
I will actually have to experiment.
I think you should.
Yeah. We'll let you know, listeners, what my experiment.
If I
didn't burn the house down. Or you can just air dry them. Just lay them on a tray and Not in the sun, because you'll fry them, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they turn brown as well.
Yeah. And also go for the darker roses, like the reddish ones, so they'll keep their colour longer. Yeah. I think the yellow and white ones tend to go a bit browny, so they're not so good to look at.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you said this, but the darker roses have a stronger scent as well, don't they? That's what I've read. Is that a myth?
I'm not sure if that's true, actually, but they tend to be better for potpourri for that kind of thing.
Well, maybe the lighter roses have a more delicate scent.
It's a different kind of...
The deepest. Fun fact, roses have approximately 400 volatile organic chemicals in them that are to do with scent.
Ooh, wow.
400 different scent chemicals.
Wow. Is that just in one rose or in rose?
In one. Oh. Yeah, scientists have... Well, I'm going to say recently. They haven't... It was discovered in around 2006 when they've done the laboratory analyses of it all. And, yeah, that's a lot, isn't it? That's quite a complex... And reason being is the more chemicals they've got, well, smelling chemicals, a larger array of insects they can attract.
Because
every insect has its preference.
What about aphids?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they enjoy the scent, among other things.
Okay. Well, roses aren't flowering just yet. We have to wait a bit for them to come away. But what was flowering now, because we're sort of at the end of winter, is one that you've got in your... I've just given to you.
Yes, thank you for that one.
It's the lovely Daphne. Now, Daphne is just renowned for this lovely citrusy scent and a very good shrub to have sort of growing beside the doorway. So it's a good spot to have it.
And it grows well in shade as well, which is a really... That's why I'm wanting to get a cutting off you, because I've got a couple of... Everyone has a couple of shady spots around the place that you think, oh, what can I put there other than ferns? You know? Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah,
definitely. And my shady spot's by my doorway too.
Oh, great. Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't grow too big because you can prune it.
Awesome.
So it won't take over.
Yeah.
The one to get is the Perfume Princess one.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you've got?
Yeah, this is the Perfume Princess. So it just, like, the flowers are tiny, but they just pack a wallop that will scent your whole room.
Yeah.
You just
each flower has four petals, and there's a very small amount of what would you call that colour? That kind of purple. Anyway,
magenta.
Yeah, it's a nice purple just on the
edges.
Just
a tinge of it. Just a hint of it.
Yeah,
it's lovely. So Daphne is the one for the fragrance. Another one I might mention is, at the moment, is freesias. Have you got freesias in your garden?
Yes, Karen? I've got a couple of randoms that have emerged from last spring, which was a really nice surprise. I saw it sort of, the wind had blown it over, and I thought, what's that on my lawn, you know? Oh, my goodness, what a pleasant surprise.
Beautiful.
Yeah, a couple of yellow ones.
The ones that are the most fragrant are the white ones.
Oh, right.
So they're the ones to look out for if you especially want the scented ones. It's, again, like roses, they've been bred for their colour.
Yeah.
But the white ones seem to have retained all the fragrance. And, so they're flowering at the moment. So have a look out for them. And if you haven't got any, well, next season you're going to have to put some in.
That's an order from Selena.
What else?
We'll be checking.
I got on my list. Well, there's one that smells like bubble gum. It's called heliotrope or the cherry pie plant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it at the moment because it's a bit frost tender, so it tends to die down if it's too cold. But that might be a good one to have if you
what
like.
What colour is it?
The smell of bubble gum and candy.
Is it pink? Light pink? Light bubble
gum? It's kind of light purple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one to have by your on the sunny side of your garden.
Yeah.
Also, sweet pea. Sweet pea coming out. They're not flowering just yet, but they will just give you loads and loads of fragrance when they do flower.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, good old sweet pea. Certainly does smell sweet.
Their Latin name is Lathyrus odorata. So if any plant has odorata in the name, you can be sure it's a lovely smelling plant.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
I haven't come across that before. Odorata.
Well,
maybe I just haven't been paying attention.
Off the top of my head.
Maybe now that I know.
Now you're going to look out for
it. Yeah, I'll notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more on the flowering front is gardenia.
Yes.
Yes. Not flowering just yet, but look out for it because when it does, oh.
Yeah. Very popular in the essential oil world.
Yes.
I'm not sure about the health properties, but I definitely know that it's used, you know, for perfume purposes. It's a bit.
It's the national flower of Tahiti.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they use that oil to put in their hair.
Yes.
And the flowers put in their hair.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So it's just a lovely, lovely.
All-rounder.
Flowers are waxy white.
Yeah.
And, just gorgeous.
They're the ones that they use in the... those flower necklaces.
The lace.
Yeah, that they make. Yeah.
Another one that's similar is frangipani, although it's a bit harder to grow here because it's more tropical. Flowers are similar but smaller and lovely fragrance as well, frangipani. One more, but it's more of the fruit and the leaves as well, is citrus. And nearly everyone might have. Like if you're a gardener, you must have some citrus.
In your garden. I'm sure.
So
I don't know. I would assume most people, but then again, when you see the modern housing, you know, there's always room for a little lemon tree.
Yeah.
Surely.
So if you're not that keen on just the flowering ones, if you have a citrus in your garden, it will always give you fragrance because the leaves and the blossoms and the fruit as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the citrus blossom, I've never really paid that much attention to it because it's been always about the fruit. What does that smell like?
It's just similar. It's probably not as tangy or zesty.
Similar to the Daphne?
Yeah,
okay.
The flowers are small like the Daphne, so they're not as showy. Mm-hmm. They're not like huge like gardenias are.
Yeah.
But they, so lime, orange, lemons, and of course those fragrances are
that's I'm glad you reminded me that the leaves have a lovely scent to them. They do. And I've got a lime bush. I think I've got maybe 2 limes off it in 10 years. It's not a producer. I don't know what if it's the breed or maybe if I need a second one. I don't know what's going on there. It's growing and year by year, it's just not fruiting. But I can still use those lime leaves.
Yes, lovely.
In my teas or cooking or whatever, because they will have a lovely scent and some nice essential oils in them too.
One thing that you may not, I don't see them around much these days, but people used to take the citrus, like an orange, and dry them and put cloves in them as a scented thing for their homes.
Okay.
Like in the old ages they used to do that.
They used to stick them into oranges
and it would dry, but it would keep the fragrance. See, what my mum does is she dries like mandarin peels.
Yeah.
Uses them in Chinese cooking for that scent, that zest.
Okay.
And they also keep away bugs and things like that.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So if you were going to stick cloves in a mandarin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have to take the inside of the mandarin out or do you just leave it?
No, you just
and it's not going to go mouldy?
I haven't tried it.
I have heard of it done. I've heard of people.
It goes brown and hard, but it won't attract mould. Because
maybe the clothes will. Yeah. That'd be a fun thing to try.
I've seen it done on a lemon, but definitely an orange. You can do that. Anyway, let's take a break and listen to.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the mamas and the papas.
Yes, safe in my garden, so we're going to be safe while we're listening.
Safe in my garden.
Welcome back. You're listening to Garden Planet. We're talking about fragrance in the garden.
And you were going to mention some of the more herbaceous...
Yes, because not only flowers are fragrant,
yes,
it's the foliage.
That's right.
And the most fragrant foliage plants, of course, are the herbs.
Mm.
So
you've got your, I just think off the top of my head, your mints,
yep,
your lemon balms are a really nice,
yep,
one to rub between the fingers and have a whiff. What else?
Lemon verbena, that's,
yep,
a really good one.
Sages.
Sage, chamomile, not just the flowers but also the leaves. Lavender, and sage, rosemary.
I'm, yes, thinking of one of
these.
What's the other lemon one that I've got in my garden that I love?
Lemon balm, lemon...
What's that one?
Grass.
My lemongrass has been a disaster. I've just been planting it in the wrong places at the wrong time. That's something I've got to get this
spot.
Summer?
Yeah.
Spring. It'll be good to get it in the soil while it's still cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So you have these herbs around all year round giving you fragrance. Because leaves, of course, they're... Yes.
That's the nice thing about those scented plants is that, yeah, you don't have to wait for the season when they're flowering.
Yeah.
There'll always be something around, yeah, with leaves.
And one type of herb that I really love is the scented geraniums because they have different scents according to what they are. So you can have rose geraniums that smell like roses, so if you crush the leaves, and you can have citrus geraniums.
Have you got rose geraniums?
Yes.
Do you think they do smell like roses when you
do that? Similar.
Yeah.
I suppose if you did a smell test and see if you could tell the difference,
mm-hmm,
it's maybe a bit tangier than a real rose, but definitely has that rose scent,
yeah,
to it.
Okay.
Interesting. So they've got
peppermints,
nutmegs, apple-smelling,
really,
ones. Yeah. So,
and geraniums are pretty easy to grow too. So
very,
that's
easy. Just take a cutting and...
And you can just get those down at your local gardening store?
Yeah, they'll be in the herb section. So have a look out for them.
I will.
And just try, test the leaves, just give it a rub. You can have different kinds. Very easy to grow. Yeah, so you got your foliage. Now, a tip for growing all these is to grow them beside the path so that you can, brush past them as you walk past.
Yeah.
Grow them in a sunny spot.
And they're pretty tough, so if you accidentally slip or something, they'll come back, they'll bounce back.
The sunny spot or in an enclosed area so that the fragrances can, get the most out of them.
Yeah.
If you have a pergola or an arbor, that's really good to grow fragrant plants along, so you can sit there and enjoy the scent. Hanging baskets,
okay.
One that's really good on a trellis or a pergola or arbor is our plant of the week.
Oh yes.
What's our plant of the week, Karen?
I'm a lonely little petunia and an onion patch.
So, yes, star jasmine, our star of the week.
Yes.
It is. Species of flowering plant native to Japan, Korea, southern China and Vietnam. Surprisingly, it is not a true jasmine plant. This deceptively named vine is actually part of the Apocynaceae family, and this family also includes periwinkle and milkweed.
Oh, okay.
So let's talk about what it looks like. Okay, so star jasmine is an evergreen woody vine. It grows up to about 3 meters high, and its leaves are opposite and oval to... Oh, I learned a new word, lanceolate.
Lanceolate. Lanceolate.
That means it looks... I'm showing you with my fingers. So it's like pointy at the end. Kind of like an arrow, So that was quite fun. 2 to 10 centimetres long, which I found interesting. I don't think I've ever seen one 10 centimetres long, have you? But that may be in more tropical areas. They, you know how leaves grow huge?
Okay.
Okay, so the fragrant flowers are white, 1 to 2 centimetres in diameter, with a tube-like corolla opening out into 5 petal-like lobes. The fruit is a slender follicle containing numerous seeds. No, I don't think it's follicle. Follicle. You're better at the plant science than me. That's that little bit in the middle, the yellow bit. A valuable perfume oil is extracted from the steam distilled or tinctured flowers and used in high-end perfumery.
Lovely.
Yeah, so there's a business there. And in its dilute form, tinctured flowers are much used in Asian incenses. Fun facts. Its irritating, milky, latex-like sap makes it resistant to the depredations of possums.
Okay.
So if you've got a possum problem...
They're not going to eat it.
Maybe have a hedge of jasmine. But then this is the other problem. I was going to suggest this to Doc.
Yes.
You know, with the possum problems and all that in the bush. But the only thing is, be aware that star jasmine can become invasive because it is a woody vine and it can end up going everywhere. So not only, you know, in the wild bush, but in your garden too. So just keep it clipped back. Keep an eye on it, okay?
I would say star jasmine's a bit tamer than the other type of jasmines out there. So
It's definitely the tamer form, but you still need to keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Another fun fact, star jasmine and its variegated cultivar have gained the Royal Horticultural Society's Award of Garden Merit. So it's won an award.
Well done.
Yeah. So clever. So if you want to grow it, here's what you need to do. Okay, it's commonly grown as an ornamental plant, obviously, and is frequently used as a climbing vine, a ground cover, and a potted plant. I'm going to try growing this as a potted plant, I've decided. I don't need any more vines or anything to have to cut back in my garden. And I just thought I might, and if it's a tough, like they say it is, I can just leave it be hanging and let it do its thing. Oh. And every time you sort of...
Yeah,
brush past
like a hanging basket.
So it's because it's not picky about its conditions. It's low maintenance and pest-free, generally speaking. It tolerates a bit of cold and even freezing. And down south, if it does start to freeze, its brown leaves turn brown, bronzy coloured. So some people actually think that's quite an attractive feature.
Oh, mine goes sort of, bronzy reddy.
Yeah.
And it looks quite nice.
Yeah. If you do live in an area where it's like, you know, frozen over, take it indoors if you've got it in a pot during that time. What else? You won't need to fertilise it too much. Just if it's lacking a bit of organic matter, you can chuck a bit of compost or bark on it. And that's about it, really. If you notice the leaves are yellowing, I've never noticed that. Have you, with yours?
Some of them I've noticed slightly, but that means they need, water?
A bit of nutrients, so you can just put a bit of maybe seaweed juice on it or something like that. Start propagating stems in the summer. This is what I found online.
Okay.
Take a 4-inch cutting, if you want to do it, just below a leaf node. The cutting should be succulent and preferably flower-free. Dip the end in rooting hormone and plant upright in well-draining soil. It will take about 2 to 3 weeks until it's ready for transplanting, and during this time of summer, store in a shady area. So that's star jasmine for you.
Wow.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll see it or know someone that's got some.
It's a really popular plant around Auckland, it's everywhere, but...
There's a huge bush just outside where you work. Have you seen or have they cut it away?
No, it's still there.
It's still there?
Yes.
Is that star jasmine or an all up?
That's a different jasmine, but I always pick some flowers just to bring in.
The smell used to just...
It's gorgeous.
It actually started reminding me of work, which wasn't... Nah, but lovely though.
Okay.
Especially on a morning like today.
Okay. Thanks for that, Karen. I'm sure we're all in love with our star plant of the week.
Well done.
Well, that's about a bit all from us. I've just got a few minutes. might just add in, well, the smelly.
Yes, that's right. Not all plants are nice smelling. True.
So just be aware of a few of these, like ginkgo. No, okay. Mexican orange blossom, not really. Smells a bit like cat pee.
Well, okay.
As well as buxus if you cut it.
I've got enough of that. Don't need more cat pee.
Some people don't like narcissus, too smelly.
What's the one that smells like excrement? What's that one? It's got sulfur atoms on the...
Arum lily.
Yeah, is that the one?
Giant big one in the botanic, the winter garden. Yeah, maybe not those ones. But all the other ones we've mentioned, yes.
Okay. Unless you've got neighbours you want to deter. Awesome, Selena.
Thanks for that. Have fun in your garden and be safe, everyone.
All right, see you all.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.
See trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue. The bright blessed day, the dark sacred.